I'm not Gabe Lahue. I'm Christian Kessel, and Gabe is traveling somewhere in Africa. So instead of I volunteer actually like supervisor does always, if student asks you to do something, supervisor does, and so I want to give actually Gabe's talk. Let's see now here. This is all about N2O. So a little bit of background over here. About in agriculture, about 10 to 12% of all N2O emissions are actually from anthropogenic emissions. And from that, from 10 to 12%, a big chunk, 74%, actually is coming from agriculture. And the key one we have actually is the key source of that 74% derived is actually from maize agriculture, is actually from the fertilizer end we add, the manure and crop residue. The fertilizer end is probably one of the key ones, synthetic fertilizer end probably is one of the key ones that gets you to 74%. Of course, we also know that if it comes down to global warming potential, the N2O is about 300 times more potent than CO2. Okay, this is the wrong way. Now, IPCC and all, there's an emission factor. How much of the N2O is coming from agriculture, and how do you get to that so-called emission factor? And that emission factor, of course, is driven somewhat by the type of fertilizer you use. By placement, for example, makes a difference on how much of the N is being lost as N2O, as well as timing and climate and water. Particularly water, I think, as we all know, is a big driver with respect to how much N2O is being emitted from fertilizer. And Stefan and Bauman in 2006, actually, they looked at more than 1,000 studies to figure out what is the emission factor. That's actually based more or less, you can go back all the way to Arvin Moger's studies in the 80s, where actually he tried to come up with a number on how much of the fertilizer being applied is being lost as N2O. And they actually came up with what we call the default factor of 1. 1% of all the fertilizer, synthetic fertilizer applied, is being lost as N2O. Now, the key is, so that is actually the IPCC now, it has this number that the fertilizer-induced emissions factor of N2O is the difference between N2O that is being emitted between a site in the field that is not fertilized, and then you add your fertilizer and you measure both N2O emissions, and the difference between that is then what is induced by the fertilizer, by the applied fertilizer. And that is what we call the TU1, the TU1 factor in IPCC, and that's at 1%. Now, the question is now, if you have a field and you did not apply fertilizer over here this particular year, and you did it over here now, this field that has not received fertilizer this year, is there still a memory effect going on from the previous year you applied fertilizer? Now, when we do experiment, of course, that is the question. Is that a difference? Is that a difference between never fertilized or not always fertilized, except the last year when you do your comparison between? And most of those 1,000 studies, if you go into it, is usually based on a field fertilized, and this particular one over here was not fertilized this particular year. Okay, now how do we get a handle on that? How could we now figure out what is that a memory fact? Is that a memory fact? But if that's a memory fact, then I think in agriculture, that 1% might be an underestimation. Okay, now, so we were thinking about how can we come up with a number on that memory effect. Now, in actual UC Davis, there's a long-term experiment going on, what we call the ELTRA, the one-century experiment. And there's an overview of that. And that was designed in 1993. And in that treatment, actually, one of the treatments over there is there has been no fertilizer applied since 1993. There's also a treatment over there where actually fertilizer has been received all those years. There's also a treatment over there, one of the many treatments, where actually the input was not from synthetic fertilizer, it actually was from legumes, from a cover crop, that's an organic sort of medicine. So those are the three treatments we have here. So we decided actually to look at the memory effect based on those three key treatments. We lay it out. I don't want to go into a great detail of the experiment, but the way it's set out is actually a wheat fallow rotation. I agree, for California it's kind of odd, but that is what we have over here. It's a wheat fallow rotation. So actually you start with fertilizer in November, because we grow our wheat in California in the winter, not in the summer. And then you have a fallow period, and then you have again your next round of wheat. And in the meantime, this fallow, and you add it not to be implied in the fall, in November, and so on. So that is your historic wheat phase. And then of course we have historic unfertilizer, the same rotation, but there has never been any fertilizer applied. You still grow your wheat, but you don't apply any fertilizer. And then you have a wheat legume, where actually you have your wheat again, and then there's no nitrogen being applied. But then you have, in the fallow time, you have your fallow, means you have winter cover crops. The winter cover crop is the one with the legume that brings in the organic N in the system. And then we have also the reverse from this one on top, is actually we are now in a fallow, and instead of in the fallow here, we are now in the wheat phase, and so on. So those are the treatments we have. That's the mirror effect of the treatments we have. Okay. We had in mind to do all that under field conditions. So we're all set up to go, but there was no rain in California. It didn't rain. So we were waiting and waiting for the rain to come, and there was no rain. And we all know, if you're going to go N2O, you better look at the water. No water, probably your N2O emissions are going to be very, very low. Indeed, yeah, if you measure it over here with no rain, your N2O are very, very low emissions. You have to wait for the rain. No rain. So then I said, well, we have to get something going. So I said, all right, let's not wait for the rain. What we're going to do is, let's do an incubation study. As a backup, there's a master's thesis. I can't ask students to hang on for the rain to come. So I had to do something. So I said, let's do an incubation. The same treatments, but now an incubation. So actually, we measured N2O for 28, and so after 172 hours. And then we filled he's gate doing the gas sampling. We filled the incubation, the soil, up to 80% water filled capacity, 25C. And then actually we did, let it dry out, and then actually we did another re-wetting back up to 80%, and then we measured again the N2O. So let's look now a little bit at the outcome of that. Look at the results. So over here we have the treatments again, the wheat phase and the wheat phase, the fallow phase and the wheat phase. And those are the historically always fertilized, historically unfertilized, historically, so those are the ones which have the, depending on the phase of your experiment. Remember we have this, both the wheat fallow wheat, we also have a fallow wheat fallow. So we have historically fertilized and we have the fallow wheat fallow, what we have over here. And then we have the wheat legume. And if you look at that actually is, look at historically fertilized. There was just some before the nitrogen was being applied, and this is the one that has never been fertilized. You see the difference between this file and this one, this difference over here, that is your memory effect. That is your memory effect of the previous fertilization that had gone on for all those 23 years. Even when the sample was not fertilized when we took the sample, you see this big memory effect. Here we see the historical fertilized, and at a different phase, you see, but the historic unfertilized does not show almost there's no, actually there's almost no N2O coming off on the historical unfertilized in the phase. But if you have the historical fertilized, you see a huge increase, a highly significant increase in the amount of N2O that comes from your previous applied N over time. And then you have the wheat legume, the legume now being the N that is being coming as organic, and you see somewhat lower than the fertilizer, still isn't a large amount of N2O coming off, even when you have your nitrogen coming in as your soil nitrogen. So there is a large effect of previous fertilization on the amount of N2O that comes off. Now, what is all the driving? It's actually simple. If you plot out total extractable N of all those sites, and you do the cumulative N2O, the emission factor, you see, it is largely driven by how much N is still in the system. The less amount of N that's in the system, the lower amount of N2O you can potentially be lost of N2O. The more N you have, so there's actually if you have a long-term fertilization going on, then you do actually end up with more available N, and when it rains, you potentially have more N2O being emitted. Now. So what's the conclusion? If you carry it out, historic and fertilized controls actually were four times, or 18 times higher N2O emissions than the ones that has never received any fertilizer whatsoever in the last 23 years. And that goes back, I think, again, it's been related to your extractable end. Two, I think what we have to do is we have to say, well, the classical end fertilizer control plot we all have been using, myself included, over many, many years, as figuring out what is the background of N2O when you apply fertilizer. If you don't take a fact, if you do not take into consideration the memory fact of that, you might say we are actually underestimating. We might underestimate the amount of N2O that comes from agriculture, and that might be part of the reason. If you look at the emission factors and you calculate it bottom up by chamber, or you calculate it top down by first of all calculating how much N2O is in the atmosphere, and then work out the sources where it all come from, and then by default almost what you cannot explain is coming from agriculture. If you do that way, that emission factor is often large variability, I agree, but often it's much higher. The top-down estimate from emission factor is larger than the one you calculate from bottom-up. And this might be one of the reasons, I think, that maybe the reason is that memory fact had not been included where they calculated the emission factor, let's say, calling it a default factor of one, that might have been a little too low. And I think that's all I have. I hope I'm on time.
You're not only on time, but we have...
Any questions? I'm more than willing to try to see if I can engage the Gabe. I will speak for Gabe. There are different ways to calculate nitrogen use efficiency. And if you would go for a 15 enriched fertilizer, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a memory effect of labeled fertilizer that is not accumulated in year one, but it will be accumulated in year two, year three, year four, and on, probably way, way, way down the road, particularly if it becomes part of soil organic matter. If you do it by N difference actually should take in consideration the memory effect, because that is why is this the N difference. So all the little bits of N15, not 15, all the little bits of nitrogen that's been accumulated by the crop over time using the N balance method should probably better reflect overall fertilizer use efficiency compared to the N15. Yes, I agree with that. Still, leave us, this is my memory fact. Yes? You mean
pre-cultivation, maybe from the prairie root?
You mean you talk about the one that never received any fertilizer in the last 23 years? Yes, that's what it is. That's the problem. And of course, there's some deposition going on. I was just talking to someone over here with a huge amount of deposition, whatever, ammonia. Yes, everything that comes through that is a sort of an input in those cases. But most, I don't want to guess, mostly it's still a little bit coming off from the organic matter that's being decomposed slowly, slowly, slowly over all those years. Because there's no input anymore from fertilizer, and there's no crop. I mean, the crop, of course, is the wheat, but it's being turned back in. Yes, it has to be from the residue, from the little bit of wheat that grows, plus organic matter. Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We have, we're not out of time for questions, okay. So keep it for later for the discussion.